Harry's not here today. No further update. You know, we support him. We're here for him. And, you know, if things change and there's a resolution, we're here for him.
That was Nets head coach Steve Nash confirming that Kyrie Irving was a no-show at practice yesterday in Brooklyn, which could be an ongoing problem because New York City requires the COVID-19 vaccine for any indoor activities, one of which happens to be, you know, playing professional basketball. So today, with the NBA season less than 2 weeks away, Brian Windhorst explains how the league has set about getting shots into arms before shots go up and any more shots get fired. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, October 6th. This is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Brian Windhorst, I got to start here with the question that I think everybody wants an answer to. How do you feel about being colleagues with David Letterman now?
It was a very unusual and odd moment.
Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN and bore witness to one of the more surreal press conference moments in recent memory.
Neither I nor anyone else in the room was laughing. So I guess we'll let the comedy genius show me what kind of genius he's still got.
So wait, paint the picture for us here, Brian, because for people who aren't familiar with what the hell you're talking about, what did happen at a Nets press conference?
Yeah, so to set the scene, and especially for me, Nets Media Day started like the 20-something of September. And minutes before the press conference, I found out that Kyrie Irving had not met the protocol and would not be reporting, which essentially meant he wasn't going to be able to play in New York for the foreseeable future. And so I was handling this news story. And Kevin Durant was the first Nets player up to speak. So I sort of run into the press conference room and I just took a seat in the back row. And there's a person directly in front of me, like 3 feet in front of me. And I sort of did a double take because I was like, that guy looks like David Letterman. He's wearing a mask. We're all masked. I thought, okay, well, listen, you know, in New York, strange things happen. I didn't really think it was David Letterman. And then he turns to me and says, how you doing? David Letterman here. Do you have a notebook?
And your response to David Letterman slash hipster Santa Claus here is what?
I just said, hello, my name's Brian, and I don't. I have a tape recorder. And he needed the notebook because it was about to be a prop in his questions with Durant.
Dave from Basketball Digest. Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD? Can I call you KD? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh. Right.
Obviously, the Nets had told Durant that Letterman was going to be there. He wasn't stunned that he was there. But if Kevin knew what the questions were going to be, he didn't let on. And David, in my humble, non-comedic mind, asked three very lame questions.
This year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
Brian Windhorst is coming out strong, taking on one of the titans of American comedy.
Well, I mean, he is a titan of American comedy, but I don't think he's got the same writing staff that he did at The Late Show.
I cannot wait for whatever this is to come out and just watch your face, hopefully in the background, very judgmentally, Brian.
I probably was looking at him like, what are you doing? This is the best you got?
And also, this is the best you got. And you're like, I have a job. I have a cascading series of headlines that's about to plunge the NBA into a national controversy that will unite Ted Cruz and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's on Substack now, and all of these other insane characters underneath this heading of, what the hell is going on with the NBA and this vaccine, Brian?
Now, that would have been funny if he would have stuck around for the Kyrie Irving Zoom and asked Kyrie some questions. Now, that would have been worth buying a ticket to.
But Brian, hold on a second here, because the elephant in the room here was the guy who was not in the room here, which was Kyrie Irving. Because Kyrie was missing, apparently because he has not complied with New York City's vaccine protocol, which essentially requires people to get vaccinated for indoor activities, quote unquote. And so this kept him away from not just Media Day last week, but also, more importantly, from practice on Tuesday, which was the Nets' first practice back in Brooklyn after getting back from training camp out in San Diego. So let's just rewind here and parse the pertinent details. When did you become aware in the first place that something was even up with Kyrie?
Probably early September, maybe late August. Or no, the law passed, I want to say, in August. And I shouldn't say it passed. It was a decree from the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio. And it became pretty clear that it was going to impact the Knicks and the Nets players, that if they did not have at least one shot and could document that shot, basically, that they were not going to be able to play in New York. And so naturally, somebody in my position, we did some reporting on it. The word we got back basically was, you know, there's confidence that everybody will be vaccinated. And in fact, numerous players, you know, more than one of the players on the Nets and the Knicks did get vaccinated or did satisfy the protocol in one way or the other. I can't say for sure they were all vaccinated, but when the day came, everybody was there except for Kyrie. So it became clear that he was the one who did not meet the protocol. And you know, even on that day, the Nets were saying the same things as they were saying in the lead up to the beginning of the season, which is we're confident Kyrie will get it. Mm. They said that, you know, throughout the following training camp in San Diego, which they ended up being fortunate, Pablo. They scheduled their training camp in San Diego months ago. But had their training camp been in Brooklyn, Kyrie would not have been allowed to practice. So going off-site enabled them to have Kyrie at practice. It was sort of a happy coincidence that they were able to dodge that situation. But, you know, now it's head-on.
So Kyrie on Zoom and not in person on Media Day, Brian, that whole scene, what did he say? What did he actually offer in terms of an explanation as to his absence?
It was an ironic inverse because for the last year, the players were in that room talking to us on a screen. And now we were in that room talking to him on a screen. He was at his home office and we were there. And he basically just said, it's all privacy. It's all private.
Do you expect to be either vaccinated or compliant in time by the time you guys come back from LA after the preseason game?
Yeah, no, Brian, I appreciate your questions, bro. Honestly, I like to keep that stuff private, man. I'm a human being first, and I think I just would love to just keep that private. And I'm not able to be present there today, but that doesn't mean that I'm putting any limits on the future of me being able to join the team.
And while a vaccination status is indeed a private matter, he claimed privacy on every question about it.
People are speculating about certain stances you have and that you're not going to be available to your team and that kind of thing. And just why don't you want to clear that up to some extent?
Yeah, please respect my privacy. Next question.
Do you expect to play in home games in New York considering the rules in the state?
Again, I would like to keep all that private. Please just respect my privacy. Everything will be released at a due date. And once we get this cleared up, but as of right now, just please respect my privacy.
And that was frustrating to a lot of people because we had serious questions like about how would you feel if you weren't able to play at home games this season?
Half of the game.
Privacy. No, Pablo. Privacy. Kyrie, how do you feel about losing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars? Privacy. And so he just sort of used that as his statement. And then, you know, frankly, the team, I know this is Sean Marks, the general manager's position, he has just gone right into punt formation when talking to the media since and said, it's a private matter for Kyrie. Well, it is a private matter for Kyrie, but it's a heck of a problem for the Nets, whether they want to, you know, hide behind that statement or not.
Yeah, it feels like, look, there's a larger conversation we'll touch on here about public health and privacy and how private any of these choices are around vaccination. But what we're really talking about here is also just a sports business story. It's actually just a sports story. What happens when one of the three best players on the NBA's title favorite ends up not being able to play half of their games because of a local ordinance? And it feels like, you know, so much of this got kicked off through this Rolling Stone story that came out. And look, this was not ESPN's reporting, but it was explosive reporting. They talked to Kyrie's aunt. She's the head of his family foundation. She's described as one of the few people in his regular circle of advisors. How would you describe what she said as Kyrie's motives here are concerned?
I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she basically implied that Kyrie was going to be fighting a grander fight beyond just whether he could play in the NBA or not. Just basically a fight for anybody who felt that they were being forced to vaccinate or forced to do anything. I think if I recall, his aunt said something along the lines of what he's doing is not religious based, it's moral based. Knowing whether his aunt was speaking for him or whether she was sort of speaking on her own would be a key yes or no question to get from Kyrie Irving at some point. Kyrie definitely feels a draw to be much bigger than basketball. And in certain areas in his life, he has been.
And by the way, in some areas of his life, it's been very admirable.
Yeah, and you know, it's a big stand to take. You know, I think for modern athletes who want to be, you know, bigger than athletes, the icon is Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And Muhammad Ali, at a very delicate time in our country, stood up for what he believed in terms of, you know, the draft. And I don't want to put words into Kyrie's mouth or make an assumption of what he's thinking, because that's really dangerous. But I think Kyrie would like to be somebody who is seen as that type of inspirational person beyond the game. Kyrie in the past has dabbled around the concept of trying to start his own league away from the NBA.
Right.
So, you know, he has a guy to say that he's a guy that who thinks big is true. I mean, I believe he's even talked about, you know, after his playing career, going and living on a commune, things of this nature. So there's no telling what he may say and what he may do, quite frankly. And Pablo, it's actually my preference as somebody who covers the NBA. I really made a decision a couple of years ago that when it came to Kyrie, I was only going to focus on the rectangle of the basketball court. Because after that, it got a little bit squishy and you could find yourself sort of stuck in a swamp trying to follow what was going on. In this case, we have no choice because his actions and words outside the basketball court affect the team on the court, who is the maybe highest profile team in the NBA and a chance to win the championship this year, which is the core of everything that we do.
Yeah, at a certain point, it feels like, I guess life has dealt me this hand where I must now go hunting for these Instagram posts that Kyrie has started liking, in which vaccines are alleged to be part of a plot to connect people to a master computer on behalf of Satan.
I can't say for sure that's the way he thinks, but certainly there's evidence that he is studying those concepts.
So what does happen from here, Brian? Like, how long does this go on? What kind of resolution do you see on the horizon, if at all?
So the NBA is doing everything in its power to force players into getting the vaccine. The lives of players who are unvaccinated are much more uncomfortable than their vaccinated teammates, from them not being able to sit in the sections of the plane that are more comfortable, to them not being able to eat with their teammates, to how much they have to test, to whether they may have to spend time away from the team if they're exposed to COVID. And, you know, most importantly, they're going to take Kyrie Irving's money for games that he doesn't play. And not
how much are we talking about, Brian?
Well, that's a key factor here. So the NBA Players Union and the league, as we speak, are fighting over this exact thing. The NBA, in an effort to force Kyrie and Andrew Wiggins, quite frankly, to get vaccinated, decided that they were not going to pay players if they had to sit due to the city rules. And for Kyrie Irving, that is going to be in the neighborhood of $400,000 per game. They are absolutely trying to turn the screw as hard as possible on Kyrie to get vaccinated.
So, Brian, I mean, I'm looking at your latest reporting here with Woj tonight about what the Nets are kind of feeling about all of this right now with 2 weeks to go before the season starts. How would you describe how the organization is approaching this at this point?
Well, they've been hopeful that Kyrie, you know, would get compliant, would get vaccinated. And since that is not happening, and the reality, Pablo, is there's only one day left in the entire preseason where the Nets are scheduled to be out of New York. And that's a one day trip to Philadelphia for a game next week. Mm. It's Kyrie can't practice, at least with the team. And so as they peek ahead to their early season schedule, they have a 6-game homestand in mid-October, where it would be 11 consecutive days where, under the current rules, if Kyrie is not compliant, he not only can he not play in those 6 games, he can't practice on the days off in between.
Man.
And so it's very difficult in the National Basketball Association to not play or practice with your team for, you know, 7 to 10 to 14 days at a time, and then just show up and play. And the Nets are now starting to come to terms with the reality that their hopes that Kyrie would get this taken care of aren't going through. You know, they were hopeful a week ago, and here they are a week later, and it's not taken. So they have started to examine whether or not they want to allow Kyrie to be a part-time player. Do they want to enter into a situation where they will have to go through these shock, you know, changes to their team, bringing Kyrie in and out? There's even a stretch, Pablo, in November and December, where they're at home for 20 out of 26 days. I mean, the NBA has these types of stretches. The reality is that the Nets are starting to think that they may have to make a decision on this. I mean, I don't think they're there yet, but I think they are trying to be responsible. And the thing about it is, they're a very deep team. You know, they yes. don't have another Kyrie Irving, but they have another great point guard. They have another MVP level point guard right there in James Harden. And they have Patty Mills, who is their major offseason free agent signing, who is a starter level player. He's not Kyrie Irving, don't get me wrong, but he is a quality replacement. Mm-hmm. And so they are beginning to say, listen, we have to go through a process here. And really, Pablo, if I could translate it,
yeah,
I think it's the Nets beginning to push back to basically say, Kyrie, we will support your decision either way, but you've got to make that decision. You can't sit on the fence. And so we may be headed toward that becoming, a pinch point for Kyrie and the Nets in the short-term future.
But just to be blunt with me here about this, Brian, because if the Nets are beginning to push back and a decision might be made, a very tough decision, I mean, are we talking about a trade? Are we talking about something else? Who in the organization has the power on that? How does the power structure work here?
Well, it's be Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the guy who really is the point person on any big decision with the Nets, and this would be a huge decision. You know, the situation really is that Kyrie is not a valuable player in New York if he's not vaccinated. He's a valuable player in 27 other cities.
Yeah, he's half of a player in New York.
He's half of a player in New York. And the Nets are trying to win a title this year. Kyrie may feel this is unfair, but it's the reality. It's the reality the Nets have to play with. And so I don't think we're at that point, and I don't think KD is at that point, but I think a week ago, everybody was hopeful and sort of in full support. That is now starting to come in doubt. And the Nets and Kevin Durant are going to have to evaluate their options. And I don't want to talk about trade because that, you know, starts to fire people up. But
oh, yeah, again, Brian, let's get aggregated, buddy.
If you are going to be a, you know, the every other player currently playing in New York, no matter where they are on the vaccination, has gotten vaccinated because they understand if you want to be a player in New York, that's what you have to do right now. Kyrie has not made that decision. And so you have to start to deduct about whether he wants to be a player in New York. And that's a situation that the Nets have to do the calculus on, or at least begin to think about doing it.
So, Brian, before my head explodes at all of these possibilities now of what happens to Kyrie and this organization and what Kevin Durant has to do with any of it, you had also mentioned Andrew Wiggins and Golden State, the other player in this entire contentious affair, and I have to ask you about him after the break.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Brian, you were mentioning these city ordinances that require resident athletes to be vaccinated in order to play their home games. New York City is one of them. The other one of great note here is San Francisco. And this is where Andrew Wiggins and, I guess, the Andrew Wiggins situation do enter the NBA's craw, I suppose. How have the Warriors dealt with this? How has this been different from Kyrie?
Well, in Brooklyn, the Nets are all, at least publicly, directly in alignment behind Kyrie. They're all saying, we're not worried about it. Kyrie is going to do what Kyrie has to do. We support him, saying everything's going to get worked out. That was not necessarily the case in Golden State. Again, this is something that I know it became public shortly before the season began, but privately, this was an issue for the Warriors for the several weeks leading up to training camp. We don't exactly know what Andrew Wiggins' methodology was, but when, you know, Andrew Wiggins was pretty firm when he spoke at Media Day that he was really against it.
I'm just going to keep fighting for what I believe, and whether it's one thing or another, get the vaccination or not get a vaccination.
What's the reason for not just explaining what you believe?
Because it's none of your business. That's what it comes down to. You know, I ask you guys about your beliefs. I don't ask you guys what you think is right or wrong.
The big difference is that the California San Francisco law isn't yet in effect. So Wiggins was able to attend Media Day and practice. But coming up later this month, it will go into effect. And in that case, like, Wiggins would not be able to play home games. And from what I understand, several Golden State Warriors players, you know, in addition to the team, leaned very hardly on Andrew, trying to convince him to do this. And then you had Draymond Green come out and basically say, no man should force another man to get vaccinated.
It's not my place nor my business on whether he gets vaccinated or not, or who else is vaccinated, or if you're vaccinated and I'm not, or if he isn't and she is. That's none of my business. You know, I think there is something to be said for people's concern about something that's being pressed so hard. Like, why are you pressing this so hard? I think you have to honor people's feelings and their own personal beliefs. And I think that's been lost.
Brian, that monologue, I just want to be clear about this. He kind of became a heroic figure to a lot of people that I don't think would have considered Draymond Green a hero before they heard him say this about Wiggins.
Yes, and I don't know if Kyrie Irving would align himself with Ted Cruz the way Ted Cruz aligned himself with Kyrie Irving. It's sort of made for unusual bedfellows.
Yes, Brian. Yes. As America's COVID death count was soaring past 700,000, there was Ted Cruz, the Republican senator from Texas, who tweeted in reference to notable NBA players who had expressed vaccine hesitancy, quote, "I stand with Kyrie Irving. I stand with Andrew Wiggins. I stand with Bradley Beal. I stand with Jonathan Isaac. Hashtag NBA. Hashtag your body, your choice."
Yeah, and you also had LeBron James basically backing up Draymond Green's support of Andrew Wiggins' independent choice. And not only LeBron James, a very vocal person within the NBA, but also definitely a thought leader in, you know, the African-American community.
But Brian, on the Wiggins thing, what was stunning to me, and this has happened over the last, you know, we're recording on Tuesday, it's happened over the last 24 hours, is a significant development in this story that changes the story fundamentally.
Right. So over the weekend, the Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr announced that Andrew Wiggins had been vaccinated and would be available for their games going forward.
Andrew got vaccinated told me today that it was fine with us acknowledging it, and that'll be the end of it. So I'm not going to answer any questions beyond that.
His decision apparently came in the wake of the NBA announcing that they would dock players' pay. And, you know, basically, despite what Andrew described very vehemently as his philosophy on it, less than a week later, he got the jab, as it were.
Time was not on my side. The season was starting soon. Didn't want to miss basketball. You know, I didn't want to get the vaccination, but it's something I had to do.
You know, the thing about it is, you know, the NBA doesn't have a mandate, but they're basically making it next to impossible to be able to operate without getting the vaccine.
You don't own your body. You know, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, hopefully there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, stronger than me and keep fighting and, you know, stand for what they believe. And, you know, hopefully it works out. You know, for that.
And the NBA has said that now 95% of its players have received at least one dose, and that a significant percentage of those players have done so within the last couple of weeks. And it's really the threat of lost pay and the protocols that the league has passed that have contributed to pushing that number closer to 100%. And so while Ted Cruz and Kyrie or Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green or LeBron can say whatever they want, and by the way, Draymond and LeBron are vaccinated, ultimately, the NBA is a private enterprise, and ultimately we're talking about millions of dollars, and that has been a guiding principle for a lot of players in this.
But the thing about LeBron, Brian, is that he didn't just repost Draymond's comments. He also spoke about this at his own Media Day interview.
We're talking about like people's bodies and well-beings, you know, so I don't feel like for me personally that I should get involved in what other people should do for their bodies and their livelihoods. But as far as speaking for everybody and their individualities and things that they want to do, I don't feel like that's not my job.
Which then prompted Enes Kanter, the Celtics center, to go on CNN to then criticize LeBron.
You know, when I heard it, I was very disappointed, and it's ridiculous. You know, obviously LeBron James, he's one of the face of the league, and he should be the first one to go out there and say, to encouraging everyone, just going out there to get this vaccine so we can save other lives.
And this then led to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Brian, who sometimes feels like the moral center of the NBA at this point, this towering figure in American cultural history. It led to him publishing an essay on Substack that said, quote, "I'm a huge fan of LeBron James, but this time LeBron is just plain wrong, and his being wrong could be deadly, especially to the black community. We're all for freedom, but not at the expense of others, nor if it damages the country," end quote, which is basically this now public disagreement among some of the greatest players in the history of the sport playing out very, very publicly. And I can't imagine the league office here as a whole is thrilled about what's going on.
Yes, and it puts people in very uncomfortable situations. You know, for example, LeBron, his brand, you know, "I will not shut up and dribble. I will speak for my generation. I will speak for my my people. I will speak for people who need this voice. And he's done incredible things with that platform, particularly in the field of education.
Starting schools. Yes, all of that.
Right. And, you know, you want to ask these follow-up questions like, is this what you have taught in schools?
Mm.
That's the challenge with taking the stand as more than an athlete, is that once you've said that that's what you are then kind of expected to take positions on these types of things. And that's basically what Kareem is calling him out on and saying, mm-hmm. you can't do one and not the other. And that's the era that we're in right now. It puts LeBron in a challenging position, and he seems to be very comfortable, though, taking that position. And that's where we are in the NBA and within society, even though, you know, Kyrie Irving is in the vast minority in the NBA right now.
Brian Windhorst, thank you for being our voice on a very complicated story.
Thank you, Pablo.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.